Well, good morning. Well, if you would have told me before 9 a.m. yesterday that I would be here, I might have looked at you a little strange. But it's interesting in God's providence how things work out, and you just never know sometimes. With that in mind, let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we lift up this service to you. Father, not my words, but your words, not my will, but your will. Father, for these people, for this time, we pray, Father, that you will help us be ever present with us. Father, Pastor John, we pray for healing. Father, for our folks that are shut in, that you might be with them in a special way. Father, for those that have fear this week, Father, reach out in love. And Father, we do all this in your name. Amen. So I was trying to recall this past week something that Alex Fernandez says all the time. So let me kind of back up and tell you where I've been and why I was thinking about this rule of stupids that kept sticking in. Y'all are looking at me like, rule of stupids? This is an Alex Fernandez quote. So I was thinking about this over and over as I was literally in Mobile until Friday and decided to drive home. But I was thinking about the law of stupids, how we are not to go to stupid places with stupid people at stupid times. And those were the only three things that I could remember, but I remember distinctly that there was one more. I just couldn't, you know, fathom what that was. So I texted Alex yesterday when I found out what I would be doing, and he said to do stupid things. So I mentioned this because this has been running in the back of my head kind of all week, kind of like one of those jingles that we heard growing up, right? Kind of, if you're a certain age, you remember how McDonald's warped our brain into remembering certain jingles that are forevermore there with us and will always be with us. And other songs from the early 1980s that I am so apt to just continually have on that recycle thing going on in my brain. But all week, Alex's quote kept ringing in my ears. Don't be at stupid places with stupid people at stupid times. And all this is to say that suddenly Thursday came along and I'm at this convention center in Mobile, Alabama. And backing up just a little bit to give you a little bit behind what happened, last Sunday I was kind of really annoyed because I got back from the day before from Milwaukee. And I don't like travel with spring breakers. I'm not saying anything against y'all, but there's a lot of rookies out there. And, you know, that just kind of makes me a little uneasy. And then there was this look in a lot of people's eyes that I was really not too thrilled about. You know, this sort of panicky look. And I'm just like, you know, Alabama, Glenda, is not that far away. So literally, I changed my plans last Sunday and said, I can drive. And literally Thursday, when everybody's email was just, boom, blowing up, so they say, I got mine saying, you know, you don't really need to be there if you don't have to be there. So I got back to the convention center Friday morning. This is still in Mobile. I'm looking around, and I'm seeing more and more of that little, you know, thing in people's eyes. And Alex's truism is just ringing in my ears, and I just said, I don't need to be at stupid places at stupid times with stupid people. And so I drove back Friday, and then yesterday had kind of found out what, you know, I would be doing today. So here we are. But just when you think things are can get really bad, let me tell you an apocryphal story. Now, when you hear the words apocryphal story, that should tell you something, right? In the old days, I would have just thrown this out there, but I will put that caveat out there. And this, by the way, was before the days of cell phones, okay? So I'm dating myself here even more. It's not my story. It's before cell phones. You know, we actually did fly to the moon. They built pyramids before these wonderful things. So I'm just saying, it's all good. So Brian Heiss of Provo, Utah, experienced more difficulty than any human being should have on a single day. First, a water pipe broke in the upstairs apartment above his own and flooded his apartment. So the manager told him to go out and rent a water vacuum. That's when he discovered his car had a flat tire. He changed the tire, went inside to phone a friend for help. You'd think it would get better than that. Standing in the water, remember, this is before cell phones, okay? Standing in the water, the electric shock from the phone startled him, and he ripped the phone off the wall. Before he could leave the apartment a second time, a neighbor had to kick down his apartment door because of water damage and jammed it tight. While all this was going on, someone stole Brian's car. It was almost out of gas, fortunately, so he found it a few blocks away. He then had to push it to the gas station. That evening, Heiss attended a military ceremony at BYU, and he injured himself severely when somehow he sat down on his own bayonet, which had been tossed onto the front seat of his car. Doctors were able to stitch up his wounds, but no one was able to resuscitate Brian's four canaries, which were crushed to death when wet ceiling plaster in his apartment fell on him while he was gone. When he got home, he slipped on the wet carpet, badly injured his tailbone. Mr. Heiss said he began to wonder if God wanted me dead but kept missing. To that, I would say that those of us of a reformed ilk would say, dude, if God wanted you really dead. So sometimes, with all that being said, we've been told in the Christian life that there will be nothing but good times. Like that old song that is not in the red one that I couldn't find this morning because it wasn't here. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Have you heard that out there? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Like, once we become a Christian, everything is going to be hunky-dory. It's all going to be good. Everything is going to be great until you take a cursory glance at what Holy Scripture says, and you take a cursory glance at your own life sometimes, especially given all of the circumstances of this past week, until you really are faced with having to look straight forward into the whirlwind that sometimes is our life and realize that every day with Jesus is not necessarily sweeter than the last. But that's okay, dear friends, because we have a God who in his providence and in his care loves us even yet during all of these times that we find ourselves in. So realistically, we are to expect trouble and trials in our lives. We need to go back to school, I'm going to proclaim, and learn the basics all over again, because oftentimes what is proclaimed out there is not necessarily what actually goes on out there. We heard growing up that there's three R's: reading, writing, arithmetic. Thank you. I know you're not used to, Presbyterians aren't necessarily used to that. I'm sorry. I grew up in a different background, as probably you can tell. But this morning, we have four R's, okay? Four R's in the text. The first is the reality of trials, that is in verse 2. Secondly, the reaction to trials, verse 2. Verse 3 is the reason for trials, and verse 4, the reward for trials. Reason, reaction, I'm sorry, that goes reality, reaction, reason, reward. So, the text in verse 2, as Danny read, notice that the text does not say if trials will come your way. It says what? When trials come your way. And there are three types of trials that we will, unfortunately, sometimes face. The first one is really easy. We face this all the time. It's a definite trial. You drive in Tampa traffic, this is definitely going to annoy you, right? You go to work, you're definitely going to face trials and even tribulation. You deal with all of the stuff that we deal with, even on a daily basis. We realize that these are definite trials that we face, even as believers. They're definitely out there. And those are the ones that we can kind of expect. And as we grow in faith, we kind of learn to adjust ourselves. But it's the second kind that the Scripture is really talking about here that I want to talk to you about. It's the indefinite ones. There's a Greek word here called, and I'm going to Lucas, I'm sorry if I slaughter this one, there he is. Perasmos? Close? Okay. Now, what's important about this Greek word, and I used to hate it when people would start throwing out Greek words for no reason, right? It's not that impressive. But this one is really impressive because it's related to our word for pirate. Now, that's, you know, being in Tampa Bay, you ought to say, well, that's pretty impressive. Pirates. We have pirates all around us. And how this relates to the text is just like a pirate, trials and tribulations sneak up on you and ambush you when you're least expecting it. But it's not only those fiery darts that come from the enemy. You know, Satan is really good about those fiery darts, right? Fiery darts that come our way. And when we're least expecting them, they affect us in a way that we're just not prepared for. We can't literally go back even a week ago and try to prepare for all the stuff that you may have gone through this week. Lots of parasmos going around this week. Lots of ambushes. But sometimes God in His providence actually doesn't ambush us, but sends stuff our way that we might not have expected. Like, you know, when I was out yesterday morning, you know, while everybody else was getting certain toiletry items, I, of course, was out getting bacon. And that's a true story. Yep, I was getting bacon because, well, you need to prepare, right? And that's when, right there in the parking lot, after I had mission accomplished, saw an email from Pastor John. And literally, it was a type of ambush, but not in a bad way. It just was something I wasn't prepared for. And I'm like, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to tell me that I came home, you know, a day early, drove all this way, went through the crook of, and if you've ever been on 1998 up there in the crook of Florida, it hasn't changed, y'all, since 1985 when I was in the military. It is the land that time forgot. So after all of that stuff that I went through, sitting in the parking lot after getting bacon, 7 pounds of bacon. I'm prepared. Literally got this email. Lord, are you trying to tell me something? So sometimes God in his providence reaches out and changes our lives in ways, not so bad, but ways that we just aren't expecting it. And, you know, that's okay. It's okay. The fiery darts are going to be there. The fiery darts were with you this week. I know. But sometimes God prepares us for stuff as well. And then the other type of trials that we're going to face is an interesting word here. It's various trials. It's literally variegated or multi-hued, like Joseph's coat of many colors. You remember that? And that just should give you this word picture that the stuff that you face, that I face, are completely different. If we look at our own little thumb and realize that each one of us is much different than the other, we all have different thumbprints, fingerprints, etc. And just like that, in God's providence, in God's mercy, we're all hit with different stuff. The trials that we face are variegated. The trials that we face, you know, are dissimilar. And Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear one another's burdens. And that should hit us, because the stuff that I go through, that I'm dealing with, is not the stuff that you're going through. But yet, the Bible tells us clearly to bear one another's burdens, to be sensitive to the stuff and the junk that we are all going through. And it especially hits me as a male. You know, sometimes I get in my male mode and just, you know. And that's hard for me to deal with sometimes. But God's word literally smacks us upside our head, so to speak, in a good way, and reminds us that we all go through these trials and tribulations. And they're variegated. They're different. They're multi-hued. The second is a reaction to trial. There's something here called count it all joy. This is in verse 2. Now that's not, I have to admit to you, that is not the natural human response to what? Going through the stuff that we go through. It's not our natural born way of reacting to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Count it all joy. James, the brother of Jesus, says, when you encounter these things, count it all joy. That sounds a little hokey. You know, it does. It comes across that way. And some people get, again, with the stupid principle, they get a little dumb about this one. And they say that, you know, we just need to smile and just, you know, yeah. It's not telling us, it's literally not telling us that we are to rejoice for the problem. That is stupid. That's one of those Alex laws there. Don't rejoice for the problem. Rejoice in. Did you hear that? Rejoice in the problem. It's much different than rejoicing for the problem. God has given us, those of us in Christ, such a peace that is different than that of the world, that even when your email is blowing up, even when you're gone somewhere doing something, you know, really not that happy about, being away from home or wherever you are or wherever you were this past Thursday or whatever this week held for you, that we are to count it all joy, and that God, through Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit, can give us comfort and peace no matter the circumstances that we go through. And I am reminded, one of my favorite texts of the Old Testament is Isaiah 43, and this was also looping around in my head in a good way. Isaiah 43:1-4 says, But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Did you get that? You are mine. When you pass through the waters, let me repeat that. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you, let me repeat that, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because, get this, you are precious in my eyes and honored. Now listen to this. And I love you. That's what we need. When all of this is going around us, the reaction to trials. Remember who you are. Remember that we don't fake it until we make it. We realize that God is in complete sovereign control, even through the floods and fires of life. Not only in control, but he created us, he formed us, he redeemed us, he called us, and yeah, he loves us. Friends, that is more than we ever could deserve. That's incredible. And I'm reminded by Job. Job lost everything. I keep going back to that guy. I love that guy. His life just blew up. Blew up. Lost everything. And you've got this picture of Job literally sitting in ashes. And just, you know, I don't want to go into detail, but he's kind of picking at the wounds, so to speak. And his wife. What a wife. And his friends. What friends. Why don't you just curse God and die? But his reaction, so incredible. His reaction in 13:15 of Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Did you hear that? Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And my friends, if this week has been one of those weeks for you, and if with all this stuff that is swirling around you is going on in your life, just remember our reaction to a God who is in ultimate control of your life. React in a way that you remember that he really is who he said he is. And be like Job, that guy. Thirdly, and I realize, you know, I'm getting long-winded here. The reason for trials. Verse 3. Look at the words. I know you don't have them in front of you, and I know you Presbyterian folks are really annoyed by that, but if you have your Bibles, you can go to James chapter 1. This is in verse 3. The words, for you know the testing of your faith. I understand that gold, when it's being processed, when they have the fiery furnace going on, they had this process that the goldsmith will literally take and ladle off, you know, in the fiery furnace, that he will literally ladle off the impurities as they float to the top. And the test for purity of gold is when the goldsmith can look down and see his face clearly, reflecting back. And that hit me because we, in our original way, were designed to reflect God's glory. But because of sin, because of the marring that is within us, we don't reflect that glory anymore. But as we go through the fires of life, as we go through all of the stuff that's around us, may we grow in such a way that when the impurities get laid aloft in your life, may God see His face clear in your reflection. May He be able to just see something wonderful about you because you are in the process of those impurities. If you're in Christ, you're in the process of those impurities being laid aloft. I'm not telling you you're going to be perfect this side of glory. What I am is that it's a process. And those impurities through time are being laid aloft. And friend, if you've been around those that have been around a long time and those precious few that are such a joy to be around, and you see something completely different about their life, that glow almost, and you realize that person is a lot more closer to God than I am. Those rare individuals that you may encounter in your life, you remember that those are the folks that have probably been through a lot. They probably had a lot of impurities laid aloft in their life. And they're reflecting that holiness of God even more. And it causes us to kind of back up and be a little bit in awe of them. But that's because they have drawn near to God. They've drawn near to His face. And they're reflecting that holiness. And lastly, don't you love when somebody says lastly? We have the reward for trials. Verse 4. Verse 4 tells us, and I'll just read it real quickly, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But we live in a world that wants to short-circuit the process, right? We hear from a lot of preachers out there that just a little bit more Jesus will, you know, it's almost like a vitamin Jesus, and that'll, you know, give you a little bit extra. And if I just get a little bit more Jesus, you know, that's what I need. But we cannot short circuit the process. The process is this Greek word again, teleos, teleos, close. He's shaking his head at me. Okay, I wasn't even close on that one. Here translated in the ESV as perfect and complete, trials help the believer, listen, become more complete as we grow in grace. Let me repeat that. Trials help the believer become more complete. I didn't say perfect, did I? More complete as we grow in grace. Dear friends, may God mold us through testings and trials so that we may be, and the other part of this verse, lacking in nothing. Don't you love that? Lacking in nothing. But here's the reality. Before Christ entered our lives. Some of you don't remember that, and God bless you for it. Before Christ entered the picture, so to speak, before the Holy Spirit got a hold of you, so to speak, and changed your heart, you were lacking in everything. And now, as we grow in grace, look at the process. We want to shortchange this. We want to short-circuit this, but there is no short-circuiting this process. You have to literally go through some pain for these impurities to happen, to be getting rid of, for a completeness to abound from your life. So, my friends, when somebody says stupid stuff like that, just shake your head, because you know how lacking you truly were before Christ got a hold of your heart. Remember, we bring nothing, and I'll repeat that one more time just in case you didn't. I'm sure you can hear me. We bring nothing to the equation. Literally nothing except our sin. That's our lack, if you would, more than just that. We bring nothing to this. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus is still calling, listen to this, a people to himself even now. Even during the middle of, I'm not even going to name what's going on out there, right? Even during the whirlwinds that we go through, Jesus is still today calling through his Holy Spirit, through God the Holy Spirit. He's still calling. He's still calling. He's calling us. He's calling sinners unto himself. He's calling his people to live a life, even during the midst of trials and tribulations, even during all of that stuff, even around stupid people, he's calling us to live a better life, a life that is surrendered to him. Let us pray. Father, we don't have all the answers, but we know that you are God, sovereign of all. We thank you so much for Christ. We thank you for your providential care, even in the midst of the hurricanes of life, the whirlwinds that we go through. Father, may you strengthen us in this time of trials and tribulations. And Father, may your glory be shown a little brighter and clearer in our lives, so that a world that is dying and in darkness, a world that is just sometimes caught in fear, may look unto you and see that our lives are different. Father, help us to minister not only to this church, but to this community, and to be light and salt to this world. And we pray all this in Christ's name.